We're beginning the period that that Chazal defined with the Pasuk in Eicha, Kol Rodfea Hisiguha Bein Hamitzarim, that all of those who pursued us reached their goal by attacking us, Bein Hamitzarim. Bein Hamitzarim means between two narrow places. And even though the implication of Bein HaMitzarim is about place, we're really referring to time. The Bein HaMitzarim between these two narrow places refers to the time between Shavasar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks. So the time of the 3 weeks, Shavasar B'Tammuz, begins with the sin of the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf. And it concludes with the sin of the Meraglim, which happened on Tisha B'Av. The Kabbalistic literature connects the month of Tammuz with vision, with Re'iyah, and with eyes. And the corruption that led to these tragedies in the month of Tammuz had to do with a corruption of our vision. It starts with the Egel HaZahav, where it says in the Pasuk, Vayar Ha'am Ki Boshesh Moshe, that the nation saw that Moshe came down late. It says that they saw, again, the vision, and it was a mistaken vision, because it was a mistake. And that led to the construction of the golden calf, and the breaking of the Luchot, which is Shivasar B'Tammuz. The Gemara in Sanhedrin points out that Eicha, well, this part you didn't need the Gemara to point out if you paid attention when you read Eicha. Eicha is built on Aleph Beis. And the first two chapters and the fourth chapter each have 22 psukim, which follow the Aleph Beis. The third chapter has 66 psukim, where each letter in the Aleph Beis is repeated three times. But what the Gemara in Sanhedrin does point out is that in the second, third, and fourth prakim, there are two letters out of order. The Gemara says that how come the letter ayin, which normally comes before the letter pei in the Aleph Beis, how come the letter pei precedes the letter ayin in chapters 2, 3, and 4? And the Gemara's answer is that the meraglim, the spies, hikdimu pe la'ayin, that they had their mouths precede their eyes. Sha'amru mashalo ro einayim, they spoke things about Eretz Yisrael that their eyes did not see. So where normally a person is supposed to look to see, and then after you saw, you assimilate and you process, and then you speak. They were higdimu peh la'ayin. They spoke before they saw. Again, this is an idea of the corruption of vision, because the Meraglim started their trip into Eretz Yisrael in the month of Tammuz. So the month of Tammuz is associated with the corruption of vision. And one of the questions, Rav Moshe Shapira asks this question, others, well, if they spoke something that they didn't see, so then we should have just eliminated the letter ayin and skip it. There should have only been a pay in those three chapters, and we should not have had the letter ayin at all. And the answer is that they did see, but they saw what they wanted to see. After they spoke what they wanted, and then their vision got corrupted because of what they wanted to see. They went into Eretz Yisrael, and they missed the whole point of Eretz Yisrael. They missed the spiritual potential. They were used to, as we've spoken in the past, they were used to an environment of pure spirituality, where they have all things provided miraculously, and they're coming now into a land where it's a physical land, with huge physical fruit and very strong warriors and very strong cities, and they missed the spiritual potential that exists. They missed the spiritual potential in confronting such challenges in Eretz Yisrael. We talk about the contrast between Shivasar B'Tammuz, Chet HaEgel, which was Avodah Zarah, and Chet HaMeraglim, which was some kind of a Lashon Hara, they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. On the surface, the sin of the Meraglim appears much less severe than the sin of the golden calf. The Egel Azov was Avodah Zarah. The Meraglim, they misspoke, they Lashon Hara, they said bad things, they wanted to stay in the different environment. Chazal tell us not like that. We see it in the consequences of the two sins, and we see it also in how Chazal describe it. So there's a medrash that says, Rabbi Elazar ben Akapar says, that if the even when the Jewish people are being Oved Avodah Zarah v'shalom beinehem, ein ha-satan nogea behem. The Jewish people are insulated from prosecution, even when they sin, if they do it with unity. Whereas if they do it with divisiveness, so then they are vulnerable to the Satan's attack. When we look at the sin of the golden calf and the punishment that happened to the Jewish people as a nation, we see a very minor punishment. The people who, a few thousand, couple of thousand people, 3,000 people died, and the rest of the punishment was given, we mentioned in the past, on the installment plan. Beyond pakti or pakadati. It only came in to a serious problem at the time of the Meraglim, where that was the result that resulted in Tisha B'Av, which is a much more severe, much more serious fast day than Shivasar B'Tammuz. So somehow or other, the Chet HaMeraglim is viewed much more seriously than the Chet HaEgel. And one of the reasons is because the Chet HaEgel was done, the Jewish people were still united from the unity of receiving of the Torah at Sinai. They made a mistake. They misassessed. They built something as an intermediary, but they did it with unity. They were all devoted to the same agenda. The Meraglim was the forerunner of Sinat Chinam. The Meraglim was the forerunner of divisiveness in the Jewish people because they were worried about their own personal spiritual agenda. We want to worship God in the desert. We want to worship God in this environment. And they missed the challenge that God is presenting them. And that is egocentrism. And that is what leads to all the divisiveness. But it starts, according to this, it starts with looking and misassessing what you see. A man sees what he wants to see, disregards the rest, and that leads to serious, serious consequences. In our personal lives, in the world we live in, so preconceptions frequently distort our vision. We're in a world that's bombarded with words. Peh. But the talk, the peh, it's always preceding the ayin. The talk is trying to create reality. When we talk about fake news, we're talking about people talking to create a reality, as opposed to allowing their speech to reflect what they really see. We have to begin with an accurate picture of reality. We need to view our lives correctly. We need to know why we were created. What are we here for? We're created to accomplish a divine mission, a divine purpose. We need to view the Torah correctly. A person can misspeak, can misrepresent the Torah based on personal agendas, based on political agendas. That's makdim peh la'ayin. The Nesiva Shalom tells us that one of the greatest tragedies, probably the tragedy that we have today, is that we are accepting a situation, we are tolerating a situation that's intolerable. That's the biggest tragedy. We look around and we see things, they're pretty good. Right? We have half of the Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael. We have 100,000 people sitting and learning Torah full time. We have a thriving of Orthodox Judaism, Baalei Tshuva. It's amazing. You look around Eretz Yisrael, a world economy, and a thriving agriculture. All of the signs of the redemption, all of the prophecies are being actualized. I mean, after the Six-Day War, when Israel took over the old city, there was a lot of talk about modifying the Nachem prayer on Tisha B'Av. And when you say it, if you read the words on a superficial level, you can misunderstand, because it says, Ave, we're mourning, and we are desolate from our children. And we look around, and Jerusalem is thriving, the old city. As long as you don't look above the Kotel to see those mosques. But we can make a mistake and think that things are great. And that, says the Nesiv HaShalom, is the problem. That's the real tragedy. Is that we come to accept things that are unacceptable. We have to appreciate the problem with the divisiveness in the Jewish people, that we think that the ideology has to be, everybody has to do it my way. That's the Sinat Chinam of the Second Temple period we mentioned, I believe, a while ago, about the Netziv's analysis of the Second Temple period, where the sinah was built on people are different than me and it has to be done my way. And that problem exists very seriously today. We have to remember that if the Beit HaMikdash is not being built today, it's not because we haven't risen to the level that requires a rebuilding. It's because we are at the level of destruction. And if somehow or other, miraculously, the Beit HaMikdash would come down, but without us changing our behavior and our culture and how we treat each other, it would immediately be destroyed. The proof is that it's not being rebuilt. So the problems that exist, that existed, where the agenda, the egocentric agenda, the lack of the unity, that's the cause, and that's existing. And we have to figure out what our role is in that. And it always has to be that we have to look, what is our personal agenda? What is the Torah demand for me to be my spiritual agenda? I'm sorry, not our personal egocentric agenda, but our personal mission. What does the Torah demand from us? What does the Torah demand from each individual person? The real unity is everybody working together to play their role in building the Jewish people. There's a very important shlo talking about the number of letters in the Torah, which is misinterpreted. The shlo talks about how the Torah is Roshem Elokut. The Torah is the imprint of God, and man is the Roshem of the Torah. Man is the imprint of the Torah. An imprint is supposed to communicate. And then he says that the man is the imprint of the Torah, v'shishim ribu osios la Torah, v'hem shishim ribu nishmos Yisrael. 600,000 letters of the Torah does not mean the 305,000 letters that we have written in our Torah, but a letter means we have to communicate with lots and lots of elements. 600,000 letters are brought together to communicate a message. And the message has to be communicated by the totality of the Jewish people. Every person playing a role of a letter. Every person participating in communicating the Roshem Elokut, the divinity that's in the Torah, and the divinity that we have to communicate. And when that's done, that's the Beit HaMikdash, that's the Holy Temple, where everybody is united, where the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu emanates from that Beit HaMikdash, and we don't appreciate what's missing. We don't appreciate what it's supposed to look like. And the work of these 3 weeks, first of all, is one of Achdus, of unity, but it's also one of focusing on how we, as individuals, can bring about the job that the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to bring, the radiation of the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to appreciate the pain, which we don't feel so much, of the fact that the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still in exile, that it's still in Galut, and that He's bringing back. We're on the way back, and the Jewish people, half the Jewish people back in Eretz Yisrael, is a fulfillment of a step in the messianic process. But we shouldn't get misled by the fact that things are great, and that these 3 weeks, Bein HaMitzarim, that we have to realize we're in a very narrow place, that there's potential for these days to be transformed into days of Simcha. But right now, we have to appreciate what we're missing and figure out what our responsibility is as each individual and as a community to try to fix what's broken.